We're not going to have time to go through the 13 points of data protection that I picked up from a conference in the US, but I'm literally just sharing it in the chat. I would encourage everybody, when I was at the conference writing this down, my COO got a letter, sorry, got an email, sort of pretty much in the middle of the meet at the presentation saying, please tell me we can address all 13 of these. I think, to be fair, she came back and said 12 and a half straight away, and there was one more that needed a bit more work. The one that worries me more than ever any, you know, in a world where our staff would increasingly want to have access to company data on their own devices, is if that device gets lost, how do we wipe it? Especially as you can't limit your employees' ability to download whatever they like onto their own devices. But what happens if they download something for their personal use that happens to be infected? The reality is Google bluntly are not as robust as, I think, the toughest people to get things onto an app store, I've been told, of Microsoft, but their phones aren't really around anymore. You know, Apple are tougher. Google's an open system, and there are reasons why, you know, Android is an open environment, but it does mean, you know, whatever devices you're using, I urge everyone to think, if you've got your staff able to access company client data on their own mobile devices, if that gets lost, do you have a way of completely wiping it? Joseph, can I come to you to talk a little bit about automation of cyber breach notifications? You know, we were touching on this when we spoke earlier in the week, just briefly on that, and then I'm going to come on to the next subject, which is going to be communications and awareness. But Joseph,
sure.
Automations.
Automations of breaches, and is that in terms of communicating with the regular?
Notifications. You were talking earlier the week about automating notifications and what can be done in that way.
Yeah,
almost how you can pre-prepare.
Sure. I mean, so I think one of the biggest advantages of modern cloud-based technology is automation. Cloud has often been met, particularly over the last decade, with some hesitation, some reluctance. But actually, it's quite an incredible opportunity to actually respond in a much quicker and more automated way to any breaches that might occur. So I guess ahead of a breach, the benefits of using a cloud provider or software that is within the cloud, the investment that some of the bigger cloud providers like Microsoft and Amazon and Google put into their cloud systems is incredible. Their data centers versus something that's on-premise in terms of handling data, managing data, the security of the data, it's second to none. The encryption standards that you can deploy are second to none. There are redundancy and backups of data. The compliance standards are out of the box, and software updates happen on a very regular basis. So if there is a breach, and if a breach does happen, and that would typically be, as I've mentioned, on the client side, so it wouldn't typically be on the side of the cloud provider, i.e. one of the cloud providers like Microsoft or Amazon or Google, they wouldn't be the ones getting hacked. It would be the client. It would be a phishing attempt. They would come in. They would access the data there. You could set up automated notifications to let you know if that has happened. And you could also set up automated notifications to the ICO and any other key stakeholders of your business to let them know that the breach has happened. Monitoring, threat detection, data loss prevention, all of these quite complex sounding things can be handled automatically by using and adopting a cloud provider because they come quite often out of the box. And historically, you've had to handle these things all yourself, and it's been very difficult. But by adopting a cloud provider of secure solutions, all these things happen out of the box and are standard as part of a solution that you might buy to handle these secure communications. Is that helpful?
Okay, great. Yeah, that's wonderful. Coming towards the end now, and I'm going to take a few minutes just at the end to make people aware of other resources and activity that might be helpful for them, both in this issue, on this subject, and also generally more activity to help advisors with their overall approach to technology. But I'd like to come back to you, Joseph, actually on some generic issues. And let's talk briefly, if you would, please, about cyber attacks, where breaches happen, and where they are in the communications.
Sure. Okay. So I think as all the financial advisors on this call will hopefully agree, over the last 20 years, digitization and technology has really been implemented in the back office. So a lot of your processes, a lot of the ways in which you're operating the back office, processing information from clients, interacting with the platforms, purchasing funds, et cetera, modeling, all of that's the back office. Something that has been maybe neglected. Oh, sorry, I'm getting some feedback.
Yeah, there. Someone's not on mute. Sam, can you see if we can?
Do you want to go, Joseph? Yeah, sure. One of the areas that has been maybe a little bit neglected and not adopted as much is the front office. So the way in which you're interacting with clients, exchanging documents, arranging meetings, post annual review, that experience often hasn't been as optimized as it could be. And clients are really now beginning to expect an experience that mirrors something like Google or Apple and those experiences that you're having. So I actually think it's quite a neat opportunity with the security concerns that we've been talking about to both address and modernize that client experience whilst implementing a robust and secure solution that minimizes any of the threats that we've talked about today around phishing and clients handing out the wrong information and the clients being intercepted, where over 90% of the attacks happen.
Yeah, I think there is good evidence in amongst many firms that only accepting instructions through client portals, for example. I'm aware of a number of organizations that have had firsthand experience of attempted fraud. And when they've gone back and said, sorry, do not accept communication for instructions in any other way other than through our secure client portal, the withdrawal request or whatever fraud it was just hasn't continued because the fraudster couldn't get access to that challenge. It may be that in this world, we need a two-factor version of that. You get it over the client portal and then you validate it in another way. And the point that was made earlier of, really drilling into very personal information that only your client and you would know, it is a really valid point. Chris, can I invite you to give us the last few comments before I just sort of wrap up on future things that are happening? Do you want to talk a little bit about the equivalent of Friday afternoon fraud in financial services or other ways of checking if communications are genuine?
Yeah, of course. I think the thing, if to try and, and many people know, but I think sometimes when we speak to our clients and we talk about these risks, there's a perception, I feel, that the question sits with the business that says, hold on, I've got 350 clients. Why is somebody going to try and set out to attack me and my business rather than a Barclays or what have you, that has millions of records? And I think it's just to maybe leave everybody with that, the thought that that's not how it happens. So what happens is that organizations are sending out millions of emails every day, and you only have to make, or somebody within your organization only has to make one mistake and click on one of those links inside an email. So the chances of that happening become greater the more sophisticated the communications from the cyber criminals are. And it isn't maybe that they're specifically set out to target you as, Chris Davis, financial advisor or mortgage broker sitting in the high street somewhere. That's correct. It's not that somebody's kind of set out to target you, but you are on a distribution list somewhere. Your email or your staff's emails are out there. And it's just one of those times where if it is a Friday afternoon or you're rushing out of the office or you're working from home and you're not totally concentrating and you click on something and you might go, bloody hell. But the truth of the matter is, what we now know is, you might go, oh, nothing happened. Thank God for that, nothing happened. But what we now know is it might take 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 3 months to find out that what you did then did do something. It's just that it's taken that length of time for the hacker to go through and understand what data you've got and what they can access before then coming back and presenting you with that ransomware attack. So I think for me, it's about just understanding that it does only take one slip to open that gateway for the hacker to kind of come through. And it may not be instantaneous. It may not be that your screen goes black there and then and you can't do anything. It could be sometime further down the line. And again, that's part of what the forensic analysis people do. They try to work out as and when that happened and what might have gone on in the intervening period. So in terms of Friday afternoon, yeah, probably, I don't know if there is a day which is worse than any others, but certainly trying to be, you know, vigilant and constantly aware of not doing something when, you know, the communications that we are all getting are becoming far more sophisticated, far more real, and it just seems almost, you know, an arms race, if you like, that we've got to stay ahead of.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's a great, albeit rather chilling point on which to end, Chris, but it's a necessary one, I think, to make. Thanks to both to you and to Joseph for some tremendous contribution today and some thoughts. If I can just wrap up by highlighting a few other events for advisors on the technology side that you may find interesting. Advisorsoftware.com, which is one of the services that my organization runs. We have monthly forums. Lots of you use cash flow planning tools. We're having a big debate on their current use and future, which will be on the 22nd of November. We'll send you out more details post this for those that want to be involved in that. As a broader resource that you can access, three sites to be aware of. Advisorsoftware.com that I've just mentioned, Benefits Guru and Protection Guru. Those are all services that advisors can access to, you know, help them enhance various areas of their operation. For those of you that really want to get into the detail, we are running a conference for the fifth year on the 18th of January next year. Empowering advice through technology. We have a stunningly high return delegate rate, I have to say, on that conference. Some exceptional speakers, but then I suppose I would say that because we're organizing it. But genuinely, have a look at the, if you go to advisorsoftware.com, you will see the advert for empowering advice through technology. And I would urge you to sort of consider coming to that one. We are in the middle of doing a detailed survey on advisor technology. I'd love more firms to participate in that. If you'd like to be involved, please either drop me an email or respond to you. You will shortly get feedback forms this afternoon on this session. Please return them. We love your feedback. It enables us to design the next sessions around what you really want. That will include information on how to access that survey. And the next one of these sessions is going to be on estate management technology really looking at estate management issues, the technology that's out there, and especially where it's going. You know, estate planning is becoming a more and more important part of financial advice. There are more and more solutions appearing to help advisors. The objective of this one is going to be to give firms an idea of what's on the market at the moment and also what to expect coming over the horizon. It's an area I'm seeing a vast amount of change. As I say, there'll be details of more of these sessions coming out to you in the near future. Thank you very much for so many of you for giving up an hour of your time. I hope it's been useful and I look forward to talking to you again.